Joining me in the studio now is our historian in residence, Cormac Moore. Good afternoon, Cormac.
Good afternoon, Noel. Very good, thanks.
Keeping well. Now, today we're going to talk about raiding for arms, Collinstown Aerodrome, and talking about 1919. What's this all about?
So, Collinstown Aerodrome, that's the present-day site of Dublin Airport. And so a few weeks ago, we spoke about the ambush in Solihull Beag, you know, which is considered by many the opening shots of the War of Independence. Now, not a whole lot happened in 1919, and one of the main reasons for that, there wasn't that much activity in terms of the war, because they had sold a few arms. So what they did in 1919, a lot of it was very defensive, and actually raiding for arms. You know, could be raiding private houses, shops, but that was the main priority, was to build up their arms arsenal for the volunteers. And the most spectacular instance of that was the arms raid in Collinstown Aerodrome on 20th of March 1919.
Okay.
Now that was actually the RAF, which was just a year old. Now, the RAF was founded in 1918, but it had a big operation in Dublin, and it was very heavily guarded. They had a lot of weapons. And the reason why the volunteers knew that, because a few of them were actually working in Collinstown Aerodrome.
Okay.
So this was, you know, planned for weeks. Because it was so heavily guarded, they had to get approval from GHQ, General Headquarters of the Volunteers. And Dick McKee, actually, who was executed on Bloody Sunday in 1920, he sanctioned the raid. So it was, you know, there was quite a few involved. There was a lot of getaway cars involved. They were all dressed in khaki. They were dressed in masks to obviously avoid attention, because they were working there, a lot of them were. And their plan was to get in there very quietly and to surprise the sentries, you know, silence them, and anyone's there sleeping, that they wouldn't be awoken at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had a problem. There was two guard dogs there. So what they decided to do was actually the day before, which was the 19th of March, they poisoned the two guard dogs. They didn't die instantly, because that would have drawn attention. They died actually that night of the raid. And then they all came into the aerodrome. They, you know, took out about 12 to 15 sentries, guards, before they could get their weapons. One started causing a fuss, so they actually hung him up by his heels and the rafters.
You say they took them out, they didn't kill them.
No one was killed. No. They took them, and then they tied him up and silenced them. And it was a spectacular success. They got away with 75 rifles, 5,000 rounds of ammunition. And it was the best arms raid throughout the whole conflict.
Okay, and that would look upon beginning. Would that be looked upon as a huge haul?
It was, yeah, 75 rifles. You know, because if you consider a flying column, you know, how many would be in a flying column, and you know, what damage you could do with 75 rifles, and all that ammunition as well. It was a huge haul at the time, and they also had getaway cars. They brought sledgehammers as well with them, so that they actually went into the depot with all the vehicles in the aerodrome and smashed them to smithereens. So they couldn't chase after them.
Okay.
It was about 20 vehicles that they just smashed to smithereens. They got away, but one of the cars broke down. One of them didn't turn up. So I think there was 13 people in one car, bringing them back to the city. And another one broke down, so they had to drag that for miles.
I'm smiling now, because they wreck a load of cars and take one that doesn't work properly.
No, they didn't take any of those cars.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, they had their getaway cars and had people waiting to pick them up. One didn't turn up, and one broke down.
They should have actually taken
that. But I'd say it would have caused probably more fuss, though.
It was
very well run operation in terms of, very silent. You know, there was about 200 people that could have woken up, and if that had happened, they would all have been arrested and caught. Like, there was no casualties, no arrests. What happened was, afterwards, though, the British weren't happy, and they did as they tended to do, was instead of actually punishing the volunteers, they actually punished the locals, and they fired all of the people working in the all of the, you know, the civilian personnel, the locals working in the aerodrome, and hired military personnel. So it actually turned people against the British and towards the volunteers, and there wasn't that much support at that stage for the volunteers.
Yeah, the British were always doing that, weren't they? You know, doing the opposite thing to help them get recruits. But 25 there were in the raiding party, approximately.
Yeah.
And a lot of them worked in the aerodrome. And I suppose, as I mentioned here, that when they came in, the people that they'd raided the night before had been led away and sacked.
The actual sentries were arrested, so they got in trouble, even though they were blameless. But they were all sacked. Even the volunteers, there was only a few volunteers that actually worked in the aerodrome. Like all those 25 people didn't work in the aerodrome, but they actually fired. I think it's about 800 people that they. There was 800 workers that were sacked. So obviously they weren't all involved in the raid, and they all got fired.
And what happened to the aerodrome afterwards? I know eventually it turned into Dublin Airport.
But
did it sort of continue in what it was?
Yeah, it still was an RAF base until the British left. But then after that, it soon became the home of Dublin Airport.
Oh, obviously more heavily guarded in future. Was there many places like that with hordes of arms like that, or was that?
No, that was the biggest thing. You know, there was a few kind of successful raids, but that was the biggest. And then they stored them actually in Donal. In North Dublin, they had arms. The Irish Volunteers, as they were called in, had an arms dump, and most of them were stored there.
Okay, so anyway, that's quite a significant start off to the Civil War, to an extent.
The War of Independence.
Yeah, Yeah.
No, it was. It showed the capacity of the IRA. Like, it was very well planned. It pretty much went off almost without a hitch. Mm-hmm. The fact they did achieve, and was so heavily guarded. If you consider, there was about 200 people, military personnel on site, and they got away with it, no casualties, and they got a big haul as well. Mm. So it was a spectacular success.
And I suppose Cormac, to visualise it, where people would be thinking about today, the way the motorways and all the built-up areas around it. It was pretty an isolated place around that time.
Absolutely. It was a country roads. It was country area.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no M1 or M50.
Not many houses around. So it was a spectacular raid when you think about it.
It was. It was, as I said, they had worked it very... They had to get sanctioned from the GHQ, and GHQ got heavily involved. GHQ provided the khaki clothes and the masks and... They approved the plans that were designed by those 25 people, including the people who worked in the aerodrome. Even if you think of the guard dogs, they didn't want to kill them. They felt sorry for the guard dogs. But if they hadn't, silenced the guard dogs, mm-hmm. and they poisoned them, sadly, but they it wouldn't have worked because they would have been alerted, of course.
Okay, have you any talks coming up?
Yeah, I've got a couple now coming up next month, so it's busy enough at the moment, so.
Do you want to tell me where they are?
No, I have to think the dates and times.
Okay, okay. Well, let us know when we do it.
Next couple of weeks.
If you're not in before you do the talks, let me know where they are and I'll announce them anyway, Cormac.
Of course. So,
okay, that's Cormac there, more historian in residence here every couple of weeks. And thanks very much for that. Quite an interesting bit of history for around your local area. So there you go.